That's wonderful. Thank God for his grace. Well, I am really honored to be here tonight. Great Sunday night crowd. And how many of you have never heard me preach? You have been lucky so far. Your streak is about over. I'm glad to be in Texas. I like Texas. Home of independent-minded, hard-nosed, red-necked, government-fighting, bureaucracy-hating, gun-carrying, hairy-legged women. And the men are pretty tough, too. Thank you for letting me come. I'd like to read three versions of our text tonight, if that's all right. Version number one is in Matthew chapter 8. Version number two is in Mark chapter 4. Version number three is in Luke chapter 8, and they're all in your King James Bible. I have some books at the back. If I have time, I'll talk about them afterwards. If I don't, please buy them. I may need the money. Do you stand when you read the scripture here? Yes or no? No, I want to know what you normally do. No, well, then don't do it. Sorry. I'm agnostic about that. I just do whatever the church does, all right? I go along to get along. It's all right. I'm so glad the Johnsons have been in meetings with them a couple of times and just enjoy their family. Wisdom is justified of all her children. If I knew nothing about Brother and Mrs. Johnson, I know they're great people because I know the children and great young people. So glad they're here and glad that you allowed me to come tonight. It was about a year ago, May or June, I officially learned I had cancer in my vocal cord. Had chemo and radiation for 35 treatments, about 7 weeks. And the doctor said that 75% of the patients they had recovered 80 to 90% of their voice. The other 25% become country singers. My first album will be out in November. I had three-month checkups. They were good. And then the fourth three-month checkup, they said the cancer's back. So they're doing a laryngectomy on November 10th. They'll remove my voice box. The doctor says the cancer is not spread. I've had MRI, CT scans, PET scans, and never any sign of it anywhere else. So a reasonable chance I can live out my normal lifespan, which in my age is about another 7 months. I will still be able, in his words, to give lectures afterwards. But it'll be with a prosthesis. And pray that I heal rapidly and I'm able to use the prosthesis well. I've had a number of people say they'd still let me come and preach. I may wind up doing a little more writing, a little less preaching. But if my assignment changes, my calling and my job to glorify and honor God does not. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. So you get my Batman voice tonight. I was preaching in Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago. The preacher's grandson heard my voice. He said, "Optimus Prime." I don't know what that means, but that's what he said. But after the surgery, it won't be Batman. It'll be R2-D2. And if you'd stop interrupting me, I'd get done sooner. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Hey, that's a good idea.
Amen.
Disciples ought to follow Jesus. And behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and said to him, awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. I just turned two pages, apologize. And when they'd sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Luke chapter 8 and verse 22, if you would please. I do apologize for reading so much Bible in church. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched for it. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the waves, and they obey him. Lord, I pray by your Spirit you would empower me to say everything and only the things you want said. Bind Satan and those fallen angels that serve him, and may they fail in their effort to snatch the good seed of your perfect word away from the soil of our hearts. Help us to receive gladly what you have for us. Bless the preaching and the invitation, and we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus has preached the Sermon on the Mount. He then performs three miracles. And he says to the disciples, we got to go across the Sea of Galilee. When he gets there, he's going to cleanse from demons the maniac of Gadara, who will have such an influence on that region that the first time Jesus goes, they beg him to leave. And when he comes back, they can't wait for him to come. They welcome him with open arms. Let's get in the boat. We got to go the other side. They get in the ship. And no sooner are they in that ship than a terrible storm arises. Sea of Galilee surrounded by mountains. The wind often whips down, etches gullies as storms come up. But this is a really bad storm. Four of the disciples made their living on that same body of water. They were used to storms, but this one so bad it scares them all to death. Now why? They were in the will of God. Why would they have a storm? I thought, if you were a Christian, you never had any troubles. I thought your husband took out the trash. Your wife didn't nag. Your children obeyed. You had money in the bank. You never got sick. People stopped you on the street to give you random amounts of cash. Your dog never had fleas. I saw that on the Hookie Pookie station. In fact, they said, if I send them money, that's what my life would be like. But they're in the will of God, and a terrible storm comes up. What's the reason for the storm? I'm going to give you two reasons. You don't have to believe the first one. I think it makes sense. I think it's consistent with the Scripture, but it's not absolutely stated. My favorite Bible commentator is John Phillips. John Phillips was a brilliant man, died a member of Bobby Robertson's church. His funeral was there. Put himself under the authority of a man who never finished the eighth grade, but was a man of God. John Phillips pointed out that in the Gospel of Mark, the Bible says Jesus rebuked the wind, but he spoke to the waves. That word rebuke in the New Testament almost always is used of unclean spirits. So John Phillips postulates that the storm was inspired by Satan. Well, that makes sense. He's the prince of the power of the air. Jesus rebuked the wind, not the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The devil has no claim to one square inch of God's good earth. And we know the devil likes to cause trouble. We know what he did to Job. We know he's the accuser of the brethren. So, looks to me like the storm is inspired by Satan. Whether you believe that or not, pray for me, I'm trying to quit smoking. You must believe the second reason. It was inspired by Satan. It was instructive for the saints. It's early in the ministry of our Lord. The disciples know he can make lame people walk, blind people see, deaf people hear, but they have no idea he has so much power he can tell the winds and the waves what to do, and they obey him. Wow. People say, well, God put me through that trial to see how I would respond. No. He already knew. He has always known everything. My friend Dr. Curtis Hudson, I'm sure preached here regularly, used to say, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? When the storm was over, the Lord Jesus did not know one thing about the disciples he had not already known before, but they knew a whole lot more about him. Church, let me remind you, every trial, every test, every trouble, every trauma is designed by God to teach you to know him, to love him, and to trust him more.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It was instructive for the saints. But notice the response to the storm. The disciples are scared. Scared they're going to die. Master, we perish. The Lord Jesus is sleeping. Wow. Does it ever seem to you like you're in a terrible storm and the Lord's asleep? And it looks to me like he did it on purpose. Now, I've had people sleep while I preach. Back when my voice was much stronger than it is now. And now, I never fuss at them. You want to sleep? Go ahead. I won't say anything. See, I worked my way through college. And I worked night watchman at the same time working at a mattress factory. And I was busy. I was tired all the time. I perfected the art of sleeping with my elbow on a hymn book and my chin on my fist in an upright position. So the law of sowing and reaping says I am owed people sleeping while I preach. I did hear about one preacher, an old guy in a church, and this old guy deliberately went to sleep every Sunday. Preacher had had it. He said to his wife, you watch, I'm going to get him next week. He waited, the guy was sleeping real well. And he said, everybody wants to go to heaven when you die. Would you please raise your hand? But they all did, said that guy. And then he said, everybody wants to go to hell when you die. Would you please stand up? The guy woke up, jumped to his feet, looked around. He said, well, preacher, I don't know what it is we're voting on, but it looks like you and me are the only ones for it. But Brother Weaver, I've never had anybody come in, bring a pillow, put it down on the pew, lie down on the pillow and go to sleep. And Jesus is asleep on a pillow. Looks to me like he did it on purpose. I would suggest everything our Lord does, he does on purpose. Disciples are scared. Jesus sleeping. The ship is safe. Third response. Wow. Now, the Bible says it's covered with waves. It says the ship was now full. If you own a boat, it'll get water in it when you're in the lake. You got a 16-foot aluminum fishing boat and a 25-horse motor. You cut you out a milk jug. You scrape along the bottom, get the water out. You got a bigger boat. It's got a bilge pump. Water runs under the floor, between the floor and the hull, back to the back. It gets pumped out. Every boat gets some water. But there's hardly a boat out there, maybe a Boston Whaler, and certainly none in Bible times, that is designed to operate full of water. This ship is full. Any ordinary ship would sink under such circumstances. Ah, but not this ship, because Jesus is in this boat. Hey, you better be careful you're in the boat with Jesus. We used to sing in junior church, with Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. We sang, Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are drawing nigh. And we sang, no tempest can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. Amen. Ship is safe. Reason for the storm. Inspired by Satan, instructed to the saints. Response to the storm. Disciples are scared. Jesus is sleeping. The ship is safe. But notice the rebuke that comes next. There is, first of all, a calming rebuke. The Lord Jesus, awakened by the disciples, says, peace, be still. And as fast as it started, the storm stops. All those trials, troubles, difficulties, heartaches you face could be over as quickly as they started. But then there's a convicting rebuke. And the Lord Jesus deals with the disciples about two matters. Number one, about fear. Why are you so afraid? Hey, what scares you? What keeps you awake at night? What worries you? What bothers you? What gnaws at the back of your mind? Running out of money. War in the Middle East. A world about maybe into World War III, some people think. I don't think so. Don't worry about it. I don't think we're all going to get blown up. But if we do, we'll get blown all the way up. What scares you? Health issues. Jesus says, why? Well, Brother Willette, I mean, they think you'd be serious. Well, then what? Well, they're going to run a test. Well, then what? Well, then they'll try this medicine. Well, then what? Well, then if it doesn't work, there's one other treatment. Well, then what? Well, then I might die. Oh, well, then what?
Right.
Hey, let me help you. You're going to die.
Yeah.
It is appointed unto men once to die. Lest we are fortunate enough to be alive when the Lord Jesus comes back, ain't none of us getting out of this thing alive. When I first had the issue with my voice and the first biopsy had not been completed, I said to my wife, we got four possibilities. Number one, it's not cancer, they can fix it. Number two, it is cancer, and they can fix it. Number three, it's cancer. They have to take my voice box out. My assignment changes. My job does not. Number four, it's cancer, and they can't fix it, in which case I go to heaven. Hey, what a deal. I live a life where the worst thing could happen to me is the best thing could happen to me. Why are you so afraid? John Rice, from this area, an evangelist of a past century, had a man come up to him one time, stick a gun in his stomach, and say, I'm going to blow your brains out. Well, doctor, I guess the guy was not a biology major. Well, Dr. Rice never flinched. He looked at that man, and he said, you can't scare me with heaven. Yep. Monroe Parker was an evangelist, roughly the same era as Dr. Rice. He tells this story in a sermon called the 23rd Psalm. You can look it up on the internet. He was at a church in Kentucky back in the holler. One of those places the police didn't go. Long time ago, got off the train. The old preacher said, hurry, get in the car, there's going to be trouble. He got in the car. Preacher said, last evangelist that came here, they shot and killed him while he was standing in the pulpit. That's why I'm not in that pulpit. Said the same bullet killed him with your... Hit his wife at the piano and killed her too. They had a prayer meeting Saturday night, and they were praying, oh God, don't let Dr. Barker die. Oh God, don't let Dr. Barker die. Dr. Barker says, you could hear my fervent amens intermingled with their prayers. It was a rough meeting. Tough guys, or guys who thought they're tough, leaned against the back wall with their arms folded, six guns on either side, daring the preacher to say something they didn't like. One night, in the middle of the service, they turned the lights out, beat up that old preacher, broke his glasses, stole his fountain pen, and Monroe Parker had had enough. He was a very strong man physically. Monroe Parker played football, Thomasville, Alabama, high school and college. He used to do a headstand and then do push-ups. Try that when you get home. We'll know by the neck braces on Wednesday who gave it a shot. And he'd had all he could take. He picked up the pulpit. He put it aside. He faced down that crowd. He said, you cowards. Beat up an old man in the dark. Break his glasses. Steal his fountain pen. You guys think you're so tough, going around with your six guns pointed at your heels. You better be careful. They might go off accidentally and blow your brains out. Biology was not widely taught in that era. And then he said, everybody's saying, oh God, don't let Dr. Barker die. Oh God, don't let Dr. Barker die. He said, you can't kill me. I'm going to live as long as God does. Hey, so am I. So are you if you're a child. Why are you so afraid? God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And then he rebuked them about faith. And I like this. Besides, he said, where is your faith? Interesting. Everybody has faith. Where's yours? How many of you, as you drove here tonight, went through an intersection where the light was green? There are not many of those in Texas. You do have some places you got long red lights. Not as bad as Florida. Florida's got really long red lights. I think people have met, married, and had children while waiting for a red light to change in Florida. The only other place that can happen is in a Chick-fil-A line. But I know what you did when you came to that green light. You slowed way down. You looked real carefully both ways. And you gently eased through the intersection. No, you didn't. You saw it was green. You went straight through. Some of you saw it turning yellow and mashed down on the accelerator. And slip right through the intersection. You have no idea who is in the cars coming on those other roads. There could have been teenagers driving those cars. But you had faith that perfect strangers would obey a red light. Brother Weaver, who made these pews? Who made these pews?
Factory.
Well, how much weight are they rated for? You don't know? Well, y'all better be careful. I mean, I imagine most of you came, looked under the seat, got hold of the serial number, Googled it. No, you didn't. You just came and sat down. Some of you plopped. Now, what if that pew didn't hold you? Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Now you're among friends. This is a wonderful church family. We'd have cared for you, helped you, loved you. Immediately after, we took your picture and put it on Instagram. Everybody's got faith. Where is yours? Is it in the money you got in the bank? The pension you've earned? The government? Your ability to earn a living with your head or your hands? Your spouse taking care of you? Where is your faith? The Bible says, have faith in God.
Amen.
Brother Johnson will relate to this. I started traveling, wasn't going to get a salary. And my wife said, honey, do you have a budget set up for us? Now, I believe in budgets. My book, Under Pressure, about a third of it deals with money. It tells how to get out of debt. How to set up a budget. I've helped a whole lot of people get out of debt. I said, no, I don't have a budget. She said, why not? I said, if I had a budget, every church I preached at, I'd wonder if they're going to give me enough money to meet my budget. And I don't need to go trying to get my budget made. I need to go trying to be a blessing. So here's the R.B. Ouellette financial plan. Watch out, Dave Ramsey. I'm coming for you. If a church gives us an offering, they don't have to. We never talk about it. If they do, I take it. Then I put it in the bank. Y'all with me so far? Then if I have any bills, I pay them out of that money. That's it. That's the whole plan. That's all there is. There ain't no more. You say, how's that working out? Well, like the optimist said after falling 18 of 20 stories, so far, so good. Hey, what are you doing that requires faith? See, the Bible says without faith, it is difficult to please God. No. Without faith, it is impossible. So, I want to give you now a few reminders. My favorite question when I read the Bible is, so what? Not who cares, but so. What does that mean? What should I do about that? How am I supposed to live? Reminder number one. Fear is normal, but it's never necessary. The psalmist said one time, what time I'm afraid I'll trust in thee. But he said again, I'll trust and never be afraid. God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Live in fear if you want to, but child of God, you do not have to. You have a heavenly Father who controls the elements, and he can take care of you.
Amen.
Number two. Devil can rock your boat, but he cannot sink your ship. Yeah, you can go this far with Job and no farther. Yeah, you can cause some troubles and some trials, but it'll never keep my servant from my care and never move them out of my will. Yeah, the devil can rock your boat. He can never sink your ship. Number three. If you're in a boat with Jesus, you'll survive storms that would sink anybody else. Yeah, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Number four, it is sinful not to exercise faith. There's a lot of fear in our society. COVID exacerbated the fear, and now all the unrest and the terrible things happening make people fear. God wants us to live by faith, to trust him in spite of the circumstances. By the way, God's people live through a lot worse than we're living through.
Yes.
Nobody's going to come in and shoot us tonight. Nobody's going to take us to jail for having church. Nobody's going to arrest you because you passed out a gospel tract. Unless you're in Dearborn, Michigan. They will arrest you there. It's run by Muslims, but you'll win on appeal. No. No. You can live in fear. You can live by faith. I've never been to a movie in my life. When I was a boy growing up, Christians did not go to movies. They just just wasn't done. Now, I understand there are Christians sometimes go to movies these days. And to be fair, Hollywood is much cleaner now than it was when I was a boy. But I read about this movie called Superman. I knew about Superman. I knew he was faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive and able to leap tall buildings at a single bound, otherwise known as a church secretary. And it's said that in this movie, Superman went down and rescued this guy from a burning building. And he's flying, and they're really high, and they're going really fast, and the buildings look like they're made of Legos, and the people look like ants, and the guy gets scared. And Superman got disgusted with him. He said, "Hey, man, I didn't fly all the way down there, rescue out of a burning building, just to drop you on the way home." Well, I wonder if God doesn't look at his children. Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith? I didn't pull you out of the miry clay, set your feet on a rock, put a new song in your heart, establish your goings. I did not regenerate you by my spirit and indwell you with the spirit. I did not wash you in my blood. I did not write down your name in the Lamb's book of life in indelible ink just to drop you on the way home. Lord, help us, please. Guide me as I extend the invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? I wonder who's here tonight. You say, "Brother Willett, I'm God's child. I'd go to heaven if I died right now, I'm sure of that. And the Spirit of God has dealt with me about fear. I see that fear is not of God. I see that my fear does not please God. God's dealt with me about that. I need to be responsive to him. Pray with me." You say that. Would you hold your hand up high? God bless you. 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 I wonder who's here tonight. You say, "God's speaking to me about the matter of faith." I'm sure there are some of you, you already know God wants you to do something, but you don't think it'll work. You don't think you're able. You don't think you have the resources. And there are others of you, you'd have a hard time answering the question, "What am I doing that requires faith?" But what serves not of faith is sin. I wonder who says, "Brother Willett, God's dealing with me about faith, about doing that that I cannot understand and I cannot see, but I know pleases him. You pray with me about that." If you say that, would you hold your hand up high? I'd like to pray for you. God bless 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 you. I wonder if you're here tonight. You say, "I don't know. I'd go to heaven if I died right now." You talked about all these people being sure they're going to heaven. I'm not sure. You know, you could be. God loves you. He wants you to spend forever with him. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross so you could have eternal life. I wonder if there's one or more who would say, "I don't know I'm going to heaven if I die today. I wish I knew that for sure. Pray for me." When you pray for the other folks, if that's you, would you lift your hand up high? Let me pray for you in just a moment. Thank you. I see you. And thank you, young friend. God bless you. Lord, I pray for this one young person. If they're old enough to understand the gospel, please save them tonight. And then I pray for your children who have heard your voice, lifted a hand. Some didn't, but should have. I pray for each of them to be willing as well to bend the knee. We thank you in Jesus' name for all that you do. Amen. Would you stand?